Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you are Urban Buzz Magazine on urbanbuzzmag.com. And I have two phenomenal people on the line with me. Wait till you find out. And they are promoting The Strength of Love. That's going to be on Apple TV and Prime Video May 8th. So make sure you save the date and get your popcorn and lock on in. Now, Mila Williams, singer, 702.
Singing with 702, still touring, and to God be the glory, still actively with 702 as lead singer. Yes, ma'am.
I love that. I love that. That's good. Now, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Did you do any tracks on the soundtrack for this project?
I did, actually. I did.
I
have some solo music that I was able to lend to the film, so I feel so blessed and appreciative of that. I have a song called Give It To You, which I actually released a few years back. It's a duet with myself and Music Soul Child, but I was so excited to be able to lend it to the movie. It kind of just like fit for one of the scenes. So I was like, hey, look, let me go in my archives and dig up some of this old music I'm sitting on.
Oh, man, that
yeah,
is
so
super
amazing. I got to, some music. Yeah, it's great. Thank you.
I love that. And, you know, Music Soul Child is truly a key player. He's back from when we were printing magazines. Man, good to,
wow.
get to
yeah,
know he's
yeah.
out there singing mm-hmm. as well. So mm-hmm. what made you take on this role for this particular project?
Well, I've always wanted to do some acting. I've done some, of course, with 702 in the past, very minimal parts. And as time has gone on, I've been afforded the opportunity to just kind of explore some other acting opportunities. And the Bazzes from Bass Brothers Productions actually reached out and asked me if I would want to be a part of this, because I met them back in 2017, I believe, when The Strength of Love was just a stage play, and it was myself and Sean as well. And so I did the play first, and uh-huh. then fast forward to now, they wanted to turn it into, you know, an on-screen film, and they approached me again, and I was like, absolutely.
Right.
I was so excited. Yeah, I was like, oh, what? So I was just so elated that they even wanted to, you know, go back to this as a stage play and reapproach it from this viewpoint, and to consider me again and have me again was nothing short of a blessing. So I just wanted to challenge myself truthfully.
That's right.
Because it was... Yeah, because it was definitely a challenge and out of my comfort zone, not mm-hmm. because I'm not from the arts, but because this is my first feature film where I am, you know, playing a lead role. And
right.
so I was just like, okay, you can do this. I was currently on tour at the time, and so it was just a lot happening at once. I had to learn lines and sing every night for 30 or so shows during the summer of 2024. So I was a little scared, mm-hmm. like, can you pull this off? And I was like, girl, get out of your head. You can do this. And so it was more mm-hmm. so just me wanting to prove to myself that I got this.
Man, and what a debut to play a lead. Now, I didn't know you had a little yes. stage background, because there is a major difference between stage and film. So
absolutely.
Yeah. To do that kind of transfer, I'm sure you was up rehearsing.
Listen, I was trying my best. I was in the hotel and at the venue and in the dressing room trying to do both.
So does The Strength of Love have any personal attachments to you? Was there something in the film or even the film itself that you was like, oh yeah, no, I can truly relate?
Well, there's a lot of parts of Mel, my character, that I can definitely relate to. And then there are things that I absolutely cannot. Again, another set of challenges, which is why I wanted to do this. It's such a unique story, but it is ultimately a story about love, and I know we can all relate to different experiences with love and relationships and different things when it comes to just romantically involved with someone, and even aside from romance, just being friends with someone and having to know boundaries and, you know, test whether or not you should be honest with yourself, be honest with the person that you're engaging with. You know, it's a lot of different ebb and flows of mental health as well. You know,
yeah.
we don't talk about it much, but therapy is very important, and counseling. And so, yeah, I can definitely relate, because this film is not just about intimacy and marriage and love. It's definitely colorful in the
right.
sense of a lot of things that it explores. It explores lots of different scenarios, and so stories within stories within stories. And I definitely can relate on so many levels, as a friend, as a daughter, I'm currently single, but I've been there before.
Right.
It's someone's other half. And so just kind of playing that role as a decent human being, I definitely can relate to a lot of these scenarios.
And so now that you've come full circle, what's next for you? Are you still interested in continuing in this vein of doing film, TV, stage, singing?
Yes, absolutely. I think this got me even more excited. So ready to truly immerse myself in acting even further. My mother, who passed away from cancer a few years ago, was always so supportive of my singing career, but one of the other things that she truly wanted me to take on as another passion was acting. And so I want to do it for myself, of course, because I love the art form of acting, but I definitely want to do it for my mom as well. So hopefully this is just the beginning of what you will see of Mila on screen. I'm going to continue to do music, of course. That's going to always be my background, but I certainly want to do more acting. Absolutely. It is just, it's special, and it takes a special individual to be able to pull it off. And I think that I'm definitely ready to just kind of push myself a bit more.
Right.
So hopefully you'll see more of me after Strength of Love. Hopefully this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I love it. And Lyndon's songs and your vocals to the soundtrack. So congratulations.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's important to me too. I've had some songs in other TV shows as well. I wasn't in the show, but you know, even as a performer or a songwriter, being able to, you know, do things on that in that capacity as well. It kind of all goes hand in hand. Yeah. So I'm here for it.
That's right. Yes, all day.
All right.
I love it, Mila. We got Sean Anthony Baker on the line. Sean.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Sean, my real friend. Me and Sean from the Boogie. So you already know how this is about to go down.
Oh, okay.
We just realized.
You already know. So now, Sean. Let me say, I have watched you and seen you in so many things. What did you enjoy about participating in this film project?
So many things, Nigeria. You know, just to kind of piggyback a little bit off, well, not piggyback, but just kind of to confirm and echo what Mila was talking about. This was a stage play first, you know.
Right.
Working with Bass Brothers Productions. By the way, the director, creative producer, Jeff Bazil, he's from New York, too. He's from right there.
Okay.
New York is up in here. So I met him actually when I auditioned for the stage play version of this, right?
Okay.
Of this now movie. And so that's I had already moved to Atlanta, and I was at that point in time getting back into acting because I was in acting or the music a little bit, and then I came back into acting as I kind of, similar to Mila, we have similar stories. My mom transitioned after battling cancer, and I moved to Atlanta to start over, and I was still doing music. And then, but I said, you know what, something shifted, and I said, I want to get back into my other love. And I said, I started in musical theater in New York. So I went back into acting as I got to Atlanta, and their production was one of, I forget what number it was, but it was like one of the handful of productions that I started, stage plays that I started working on. That's how I met Baz. And it started with that. When I read the script and just auditioning for that role, playing Tony, it was just, I loved the way that these characters were depicted in Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
Because the way that he wrote it, the way he's telling the story, it's showing, us as a people, as a community, black love, black husbands and wives, you know, helping to shift the narrative, you know, looking at positive images of ourselves on screen and on stage.
Right.
You know, it's not always about a scandal, you know what I mean?
Right.
And who did that? And who, you know, this, we know that's life, so that is never going to go away or change. But I think that we have so much of it, especially in our culture. It tends to overshadow the fact that we can just tell love stories. You know,
right.
We can do Notebook. You know what I mean? Like, you
oh
know,
my goodness, you know, that is my favorite film.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can tell just from, like, you know, again, see how your response is?
Yeah.
And nobody goes, that's a white romantic movie. No, it's just a romantic movie.
Exactly.
You know, so, but our job, you know, not to get too preachy on it, but
get
our job,
preachy,
I feel
get
as,
preachy.
As creators,
we
as
are
artists.
With key players.
Okay,
get
okay,
preachy.
Okay. Okay, bet. I got the mic now. Seriously, like, I think that's part of what I feel is a great I'm going to say responsibility that I personally take on as an artist and as an actor and a creator to say, hey, let me help change the narrative. Let me be a part of stories and productions and projects that help to shape that narrative. We can, as actors, right? You know, Mila, we can play anything. We can do any. We can play, you know, villain. We can play the. You know, it doesn't matter. But I, you know, because as acting, we don't judge the characters. However, in our community, as you can see from Sinners, right, and looking at the discography of like Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan, just using them as an example, as a template. You know, because we have to do everything almost 10 to 20 times better to show. Right,
right.
And to prove, yes, we are marketable. You will
come on, sir, and
watch.
Come on, sir.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is why this is so important. So again, circling back to your question, that's what drew me to it. First of all, as a stage play, and then when Jeff hit me up and he was like, "Listen, I'm gonna make the screenplay turn into a movie," and I was like, "Wow!" I said, "That'll be dope."
Right.
And so that even that was, I think it had a beautiful nuance to it, because now all these other stories get to be told. Like in the stage play, there were multiple stories too, but now it's very different here in this movie. We get to watch, because that, I think that's the core of it. The movie, The Strength of Love, is challenging the behaviors and the durability of relationships, right, in marriage, in friendships, in family. And that's what kind of we get to see as we're navigating through the story of The Strength of Love. And that's, again, what drew me to that was the way in which we are being depicted in telling this story, and how we can go through things and how we come out on the other side of things. And I thought it was a beautiful way to do it and tell it. And that's what I love being a part of it.
Man, that was excellent. And again, watching your work, and I love how, I love how you described yourself as a creative and an actor and not as a Black man. That just warmed my whole heart. Because how did you even escape being stereotyped as a Black man? Because you have that look. But in all of your projects, you play extremely different characters.
That's an interesting loaded question. I'll say this jokingly. I can't escape it because I am what I am. They're going to see me. You know what I mean? So I'm always going to be the Black man. But I will say to you that... the reason why my, I guess you say resume, right, looks so versatile is because I had to make a choice.
I had
to choose to do that. That wasn't happenstance. I literally crafted. I said, okay, I can play these roles. Yes, I can do gangster. Yes, I can do street. Yes, I can do, because initially how this business goes, big Black dude, he little fit. He looking like he from around the way. He look tough. Yeah, we're going to make him thug. We're going to make him thug so-and-so. We're going to make him bodyguard.
Right.
Like, so I've done that, right?
Right.
Starting out. What I quickly realized, because of the love I have for the craft of this, like I'm not doing it, I don't do it for fame and see me on, like, those things come with what we do. I love being able to tell real stories. I come from theater. I come from stage. I come from being able to break down scripts. So it's like, so I had to make a choice and say, all right, my next, and get with the right reps and say, listen, and let them understand, I know my brand.
Right.
But not just a brand, but I know the trajectory of my career. I know where I want to go. I know how I want to craft it. So, yes, I'll take a couple of these projects to kind of get me started, kind of get me in the place, get my face out there. But I got to start being particular about what I choose, being very specific. What roles am I looking for?
Right.
And I'll explain that to my people, and I have the right to say yay or nay. You know what I mean? But again, by the grace of God.
Right.
I've been able to, you know, really work on some really meaningful, really impactful roles, and I'm just blessed and just honored to do that. That worked out. That was what I call divine alignment.
Right.
That's what I always pray for. Divine alignment. You knew where I got to go. I know what I want to do, but I need that. I need that divine direction alignment. So that's how. That to answer your question, that's how that happened. They're gonna always see me as the Black man, right? They don't know I'm from where I'm from.
Right.
So sometimes open my mouth or I get around like. Like, I remember I did this last movie with Gabby Silva, and we talking, and we'll get on set, and it's like, oh, yeah, you're from Brooklyn. I'm from the Bronx, and boom, that was it.
Right.
It was like, the chemistry was, we cool, you know what I mean?
Right.
But we can give those aspects of ourselves, but I think the beauty in us, because we are not a monolith as Black people,
we get to
show everybody all of our different angles and all of our different flavors. And one of my acting coaches will say, give me 31 flavors. Don't just give me vanilla. Give me Rocky Roll. Give me Grape Nut. Give me, you know what I mean, pistachio. We are so colored. We are so beautifully colored as a people. We can show different aspects of our lives, not just the drug dealers, not just the ones that are strung out on drugs, not, you know, I'm saying, like, it's right. not just the Section 8 story, because you have so many different stories to tell, and all of us not going through the same struggles. Some struggles are very different. And right. so this movie talks, I mean, when I, again, like, this is beautifully written and crafted, because we get to see what struggles that, you know, again, other movies talk about in other cultures, and it's nothing. So right. we can do the same. Right. And that's what this movie does. Yeah.
Mm. Well, Mila, you mm-hmm. in good company. You in good company and have good Listen, and have good clearly. Counsel, you know. And
absolutely. It,
yeah, and I'm just
great. He was wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm super excited that both of y'all are on here, because I love when I see a black man support a black woman and a black woman support a black man, and especially in this industry. Mm-hmm. My God.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It's so necessary. It's so necessary. It's a beautiful thing, for sure. And y'all with all this New York talk, and I'm sitting here like, oh, well, I'm from Vegas, and it's cricket. You know.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Vegas. we'll come visit.
You meet lots of folks from New York and lots of folks from L.A., but nobody's hardly ever from Vegas. So I get on these sets, and I'm like, oh, I'm from Vegas. And it's just like, I don't know.
Well, you guys control the residency, so you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you know. Like we gotta bow down a little bit. We gotta humble ourselves a little bit. We wanna get in them residencies.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we wanna get in them residencies. That's funny. You know. But
that's about all we got. That's funny.
Yeah, that's all good. This question, this is the last question. This is for both of y'all. Sean, when you are watching yourself on screen, are you super critical? Or can you watch it? You don't like watching yourself? Are you able to just look and be like, enjoy the film? Or are you like, oh, I should have did that?
Oh, man. Oh, Lord. And listen, it's so funny. Neil and I talk about this from time to time. With other actors, you know, with my other acting friends as well. It varies. Listen, we are always, because we are artists, right? The way that we are, the way that we've been trained, and the way that we have kind of gone through the gauntlet of things, and the way that we've, you know, whether it's been being in studio sessions and for 24 hours, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or making sure that we're getting over the right track to, you know, we can read a script and go over, we can do all the things. We're always going to find something.
Right.
If you're looking, you'll find it, right?
Right.
If you look, you'll find it. I think so. We're always going to be somewhat critical. I think it. And yes, there's times I do watch my work from time to time. Let me see how bad I was in this. Let me see how fly I was in this. I'm studying. I'm studying because I used to play sports, right? So I played football a little bit in high school. My team was trash. I ain't gonna tell you where I was at because you're from Bronx. I ain't gonna tell you where I was at real quick. But team was trash. But I played football for a little bit, but then also boxed. And the martial arts. So anybody that's an athlete, right? What you do is, you know, of course, you look at the tape. I'm trained if I'm training, right? I want to look to see how do I get better. It's not just me. I'm not just picking myself apart. I want to make sure that as I watch it, I can say, oh man, makeup did this, or the lighting was bad, or you know, these are all these technical things. But in my deliveries, or do I believe myself? I look to do that, not pick myself apart, but to make sure that I'm getting better.
I give myself
credit when I hit the mark, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it really is me watching my tape. I consider, because, you know, from an athletic standpoint, like I'm watching my tape.
Right,
and then,
right.
And not that I have opponents, but my opponent is myself.
Right.
I'm my competition. So what do I got to do? Did I do it good? I'm gonna keep that move. Now, how do I move differently in this one? What play do I run on this? You know, what technique do I need to use differently? You know, and again, and everything is different because every project is different. Every role, you know, is written differently. Every emotion, we can prepare as much as we can. Like Mila was saying, she's reading the script on tour. And, you know, of course, we're getting the lines and stuff down. But when we get on the day, when we get on set, the energy is different.
Okay.
The energy shifts. Yeah. Because now you're with the person. Now you're in the space. And so you got to be open to allow yourself. Yes, you prepare, but you got to be open to allow yourself to be able to like be free, you know, and act. So I look for that when I look back at myself. The times that I do, I'm just looking to make sure that I'm am I on the right trajectory? Okay, where can I tighten up? Yeah, and I do that. And of course, yeah, I mean, we're going to be critical. I ain't going to lie. We're going to do that, but not to the point where it's like, oh my God, I can't believe. No, because I also know that I've got to, you know what I mean? No, because I know that I trust. But here's the other piece of real talk. You've got to be able to, when you're working with, and we can't always control it. This is a blessing to be able to work with Baz because I know their work. I know how they flow.
Right.
But when you're able to work with directors, I would liken it to, you know, again, Spike Lee, Denzel Washington.
Right.
I'm thinking of, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, you know, when he's working with particular people like, you know, Spike, you're looking at Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio and Al Pacino and Niro. They get to know each other. They get to know their moments. And again, why I include Michael B. Jordan. So I say that to say I also trust, right? I'm in front of the camera. I'm doing my work. I trust that the director is behind the camera looking and going, okay, we got it.
Right.
Even if I say I need one more, but I trust that I give him enough, him or her, I say, hey, you good? You good? Cool. And I trust that he or she is able to make that assessment and keep it moving.
Wow. Yeah. Now, one more question, and Mila, you answer it too when I finish. How did you get into acting, Sean? What was that, like you was at the school plays and you was like, I like this? Or is your family background in theater? How did you become interested?
My family didn't even want me to touch acting.
They was like, get a job.
I'll make it quick. I can't say that. Listen, because God bless my mom and my pops. But it was very different. Them coming from, again, not being born here, being immigrants, coming from a different country, right? My mom's from St. Kitts. My father's from Guyana.
Okay.
So they came here, right? The understanding is, hey, get a job, get your education, you know, get a house, you know, get a place and retire. Even though, but the joke was, no, real talk, that's what it was. It's like, yo, that's the American dream, right? So I'm being raised with that ideology. The joke is, my pops loved film. And when I say film, like, I was introduced to Sidney Poitier because of him. I was introduced to Cicely Tyson and, you know, Whitfield and all these wonderful actresses. I was introduced through him, right? I'm watching TV with him because he would watch everything.
Right.
And then my mother had a friend. She was a nurse. Matter of fact, my mom used to work over there on Fordham, Bronx Lebanon Hospital, right?
Okay,
She had another, you know what I said.
Yeah.
So she had a friend that she worked, another nurse, and she put her onto theater, Broadway. And so my mother would go to these Broadway plays.
Uh-huh.
Especially like music plays, musical theater, excuse me. And my first play that I watched was Sarafina.
Oh, okay.
As a kid.
Right.
And so between those two things, I was like, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I was just enamored by the way, one, seeing ourselves on screen, but I'm just looking at these people tell these stories and I'm just believing them. You got my attention for, you know, if it's a show, you got my attention for 45 minutes to an hour. If it's a movie, you got my attention for 2 hours.
Right.
How do you do that?
Right.
You know, that's a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the quick story with that, that's what brought me in. That's what got me in. And from then it was, I didn't get to go to, I wanted to go to LaGuardia. They didn't, my parents wasn't having it, or at least my pops wasn't having it. So I had to find a workaround. I had to join a theater group within high school. And then I just kind of went on from there. And I was in and out of it. But like I said, dabbled in music, and then I kind of came back to it. But that's in short, that's my journey.
Okay.
But yeah, Mila.
Yeah, Mila.
You want me to start with the first question, Ms. Nigeria?
It don't matter. We flowing. It don't matter.
Okay. Okay, cool. The first question, critical. So I think as a creative, I think naturally we all, to further elaborate what Sean was saying, tend to see ourselves and possibly as humans begin to critique. I think that's just natural. For me, however, I started in this business so young. I was like 17 years old, I think, when I signed with Motown, and I thought I was perfect because my mother raised me to believe so.
Okay. Amen.
You know, not perfect as in I'm not flawed at all.
No, we understand. Hold on a minute. Mm-hmm. I told y'all I'm a minister. So when we say the word perfect, we're always talking about maturing. I just want everybody to be clear. So go ahead, girl.
That's right. No, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. But she raised me to believe in myself, in other words. She was my number one supporter and always had confidence. And I think that confidence began to dwindle once all of the outside noise came, when you suddenly were thrown in the public eye. And so when I see myself on screen, I go back to that little girl that was told by so many different executives, you know, to do this, to do that, and lose weight, and da-da-da. And it's not, there's just so many things.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, stand like this. Don't talk like that, you know. And being in a group, you have to be a united front and one sound body mind and be joined at the hip. So it's almost like this machine is, like, controlling you.
Yeah.
You know, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a subconscious where you may not even realize that you begin to become so such an overthinker and overanalyzer, and every little thing you are for sure picking apart. Now, by nature, I'm a perfectionist. And so, yes, when I see myself on camera, I'm absolutely looking, like Sean said, there's subtle things like, oh, let me see. You do study. You want to forever be a student. So you do want to make certain that you take your notes and say, okay, next time I'll make sure I use this inflection in my voice and maybe turn this way for this angle, you know what I mean, for my quote-unquote good side or what have you. But those are just like, those things sound very, you know, shallow, you know what I mean, superficial. But there's definitely a time where I'm looking and I'm loving what I'm seeing, because I'm always proud of myself and grateful of the God-given gift. But then at the same time, it's like, I want to be more, I want to do better. You know, you want to grow and you want to evolve and you want to shine even more. And so I know for a fact, Sean knows, I've done it with him, and I definitely am hard on myself. I am so hard on myself, and I've been like that for years. I don't know if it was just from getting into the business so young, but I think I just strive to really always do my best and be my best. And so there's that. So, yes, I like to, honestly, I don't like to see myself on camera. I don't want to hear myself back when I sing. I don't want to hear my speaking voice on this interview. But that's me.
Thank you, Mila, because I feel the same way.
Listen,
I'm the same way.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Full transparency. But on the flip side, then you do sometimes, listen, sometimes I feel cute and I look in the mirror and I know I'm cute and I'm like, ooh. Yeah, let me see. Let me see these pictures. Let me see how I look on this, you know, in this
right.
scene. Because I like that outfit. I like that outfit that scene. And I know my makeup was cute that day.
Right,
you know,
right. You know, sometimes we got to encourage ourselves.
Listen, if you're not your own cheerleader, no one else will be. You definitely have to encourage yourself. And then as far as the second question, you know, it's interesting because, like I said, a while ago, my mom always wanted to see me act as well as sing.
I think
because I went to a performing arts high school, kind of like Michelle was saying, with like musical theater and all that good stuff, it kind of goes hand in hand, right? It's like singers ultimately begin to try to hand at acting, and then you have some actors that sometimes, you know, try to hand at music, and it's just kind of synonymous, I think, parallel in terms of just being of the arts. But my mom, it's so funny, Sean, when you were talking about your parents and your dad kind of introducing you to these different films and things. My mom, when I tell you, may she rest in peace, that lady was a movie buff. She loved movies. When I tell you, today, still, in 2026, I have a basement full of about 3 boxes of her VHS. Listen, my mother recorded everything for us.
Same.
I love it.
I saw Car Wash.
Oh, come on.
I remember seeing Car Wash. My mother loved Aretha Franklin's, I'm going way back, ex-husband, God, because I can't think his name right now, which is terrible.
Oh, Cooley High.
That was her. Cooley High. That's her.
Yeah.
Cooley High.
Yeah.
She loved Cooley High.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she would play that. And
Sparkle.
She also had like the black, how do you say that? The
black exploitation films.
The exploitation films, back in the day,
Listen, she had all those on film, like on you know, VHS, like The Mac and Superfly.
She was a fan.
She had it all. But then fast forward, she also would record Breakfast Club and Weird Science and 16 Candles. And all those things from my sister and I. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We watched my sister and I like over and over and over and over. And like she loved The Wizard of Oz. She introduced my son, who's 17 now, to The Wizard of Oz and Little Rascals. And
of course,
she introduced him to so many movies. Like to this day, I didn't introduce him to the Home Alone franchise. My mother did.
Wow.
like, she loves movies, and to her last days, like, that lady, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, all the things spiritual as well, because the minister and a true woman of God, and so she was definitely watching everything.
Yes, and I do the same thing.
Well. What? She
has, yeah,
because
you got to know what they feed in the, like, people. I don't like Christians who are scared to look at films. No, you got to see what they feed the people so you can minister properly.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And she'll take something like a Harry Potter, and she'll find the biblical correlation. And listen, she needs to go hard. But so saying all that to say, she loved television and film. And I think being introduced to all of those productions at such a young age, growing up, I was a TV kid. She worked a lot as well, so I was a TV kid. I knew every jingle there was. I watched all the 80s sitcoms. I was a TV kid, and I used to do local fashion shows in Las Vegas. And in those fashion shows, there would be little talent portions. And so, of course, I would sing, but also I would do a little acting. So I started really young, just wanted to be, really, Nigeria, girl, I just wanted to be on TV.
Okay.
I think I just wanted to be.
Plainly.
As a kid, you know, and I wanted to ask something real quick, Nigeria.
Come on.
Say, I wanted to ask you, Mila, like when you said that when you were watching it as a kid, for you, all of you, I mean, of course you're watching, you're being entertained, but did it ever cross your mind at any point in time where you were like, I want to do that? Like, I know it's different from singing, right? Because being an artist in with music, but did it ever cross your mind when when you just said, I want to be on TV?
To be on TV. Yeah, I don't even know that it was acting. I wanted to entertain. And I wanted that attention. Like right now, I don't like attention. Back then, I wanted attention.
Right.
Like back then, my sister, I have an older sister, and she used to be, oh my God, I used to get on her nerves so bad because I was that annoying little sister that would sing and be in the mirror acting out the commercials.
Oh,
and
a thorn in
her side. And she doesn't sing. Like, our whole family sings, but my sister, it just missed her. I don't know what happened, but girl sing. But so I was so obnoxious, and I would just be singing and prancing around and quoting, you know, the stuff from the commercials. And so, yeah, I think for me, it was just entertainment, Sean. I don't even know if I made the connection of, like, hey, I want to do dialogue and be, you know, Punchy Brewster. But I just know I want to be in front of a camera. Yeah.
Got you. Okay. For me, it was. I mean, I loved watching the movies with my dad, and that, and of course, seeing, like I said, like when he was watching old school movies and all of that. I loved it. I was entertained. But what grabbed me was when I went to go see Sarafina, and I watched these folks sing and dance on stage.
Yes.
And that I thought that was magic. I was like, what is this? And I'm a kid. Yeah. I'm a kid.
Right.
Like, you know, a kid can't normally sit still in a damn theater. You know, I'm playing pop. Looking at them like, what are they doing? I'm like, what is it? Why am I sitting here watching this for so long? So, I was just curious, though.
Connected to that.
Yeah, I think most of the kids that grew up with the TV, I want to take an estimate and say 50% of them are in the industry.
Right.
To have a TV as your babysitter, after a while, you're like, how do I get on there? How do I?
Because
that was my experience.
Yeah.
I went to, you know, NYU for film. I don't know how I got into magazine and radio, but I'm going to produce a film, and I'm going to call y'all, and y'all better be in my film. But spending all this money, you know, spending all this money learning a craft I ain't used yet. But y'all know, you know, Sean, you know NYU. You know, that ain't cheap. But anyway.
I wanted to go to Tisch. I applied, I went to go to Tisch, but you know, they didn't want me.
It's all right.
I'm here now.
Right. Okay. I think when you get so focused. Now, the heartbreak for me is that when I was growing up, my mama ain't let me watch nothing but Channel 13, okay? I did not even know there was Channel 4, 11, 2 until I went to my first...
You took on PBS.
Right, until I went to a friend's house for a sleepover, and we woke up that morning, and we was watching Saturday cartoons, and I was like, how do you get that? You know? And I know they laughed at me, and they was like, it's on TV. I was like, yeah, but my TV, we... We only watch Sesame Street, you know. So how do you get that channel? You know, like, how do you watch that?
Wow.
And I mean, they fell out. That we're still friends today. We still joke about that. It was my mama's fault, and my mama passed too. So, you know, when y'all say that, okay. And Mother's Day's okay. coming up, and God, I just ask that you comfort us during this
relate.
Season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But yeah.
Yes. I wanted to be on Sesame Street.
I wanted to be on Sesame Street and Zoom and Electric Company, because that's all I watch.
And Electric Company.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, man.
Wow.
So this was great. This was super great. Listen, everybody. The Strength of Love, Apple TV, Prime Video, May 8th. Set your timers, set your clock, save the date, mark your calendar, and watch these two wonderful performing actors and actress on the show. And listen, hit me up, hit them up, and tell them, hey, say they did a good job.
Wow, thank you. Thank
yeah.
you for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Listen, they're going to be amazing. We have a beautiful cast. Everybody that's involved, they'll probably see some... I'm sure that audiences will see other familiar faces within this film. We have a wonderful cast that has that helps bring this story together. And like I said, it was wonderfully crafted and written. And I want to jump in and say this last thing real quick, Nigeria, because we were talking about it and it was in my brain, and I was like, you know, I want to make sure that I want to give Mila her flowers on this.
Amen.
You know, No. Listen, because I think keeping it a buck, like, you know, Mila and I talk about this often, but I think in this industry, we're seeing a lot of legacy artists, you know, transition. It's been happening, right?
Yes.
Queen Latifah, Method Man, you know, now you got Kelly Rowland, and I mean, I'm just names just popping out, but you know, there's a few of them, Common, whoever.
Yes.
But there's been so many people, and so, you know, and they to the point where some people, different generations, forget, right? They're like, oh, shoot, that's right. They used to, you know, they're part of, no, so Mila's a part of, you know, she's iconic being a part of, you know, especially our generation coming up. You know, she has left a mark on this world as a music artist. What she's getting ready to transition into right now, I don't say this lightly because I'm very upfront and serious about my craft and the work that I do with people, but she killed this. Like, I want to use a different word, and I'll find it for further interviews. But right now, I'm going to say that she brought this character so much passion and brought it to light, just because it was such an emotional character to play.
Right.
There were a lot of these things we had to go through a gamut of emotions, but Mila did it so well, and she gave such energy and pure heart into it. So I say that to say, when you look when people watch this, they're going to see this transition from, yes, Mila 702 to Mila Williams, because she's going to be that
I
next
love
one.
It.
She's going to be the one coming up. You're going to go, oh,
God.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that you're...
Yeah, no.
Hey, I got to call it face to face. Got to call it face to face.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
I accept it.
You receive that.
Because Nigeria asked you. Nigeria asked you. You said, I hope to. And there's no hope. You either are.
Come
you
on,
are.
Sir.
That's right. That's right.
So you're doing it, right? You got
do
a movie coming out.
Right.
And, where you are one of the leads, and you literally gave your heart and soul to this, where I believe people will walk away feeling like, I know Vel. I know her.
Wow.
Or I've been her. And I can't wait for the stories that are going to, not stories, but the conversations that are going to come about. When you watch it, Nigeria, I want you to contact PR people. I want you to follow us on social media. We're going to give our handles.
Yes,
I want you to
get
on there talking. Now, you see what you said right now? Beating that chest. I need my bronze bullies to come through and be like, yo, let me tell y'all something. You feel me?
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all something. I need that. I need that right there. I need that. Dig? But anyway,
true.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's just the truth. There's no BS. It's the truth.
Well, I'm going to say this. Sean is not fluffing for, you know, the listeners. Sean has told me this before and has given me my flowers before.
Right.
So this is not for anybody else's approval or, you
Come
know, to
on.
Give me type of
yeah.
praise.
He's
spoken to me like that before.
It.
So thank you, Sean. I appreciate you pouring into me. I appreciate it. Sean was magnificent with me on set. There were things that I was a fish out of water, and Sean, you know, he's prolific at what he does. He's truly serious about his craft, as he's expressed.
Right.
excellent at what he does. And right. so there were times where I definitely needed a little bit of guidance or what have you. And he was right there and he gave me pointers and he gave me reassurance where there was insecurity. He was awesome. You know what I mean? And yeah. I couldn't have asked for a better cast member, a better, as I say, on-screen hubby. He was really, really good. And I'd like to think that our chemistry was really just effortless. So I'm hoping that the crowd will feel that same way and will see that, and that it'll, I want them to feel what you felt, Sean, when you watched Serafina.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let that other little girl, that other little boy watching and going,
right?
That's dope. I love that. Yeah, for the next generation. Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you, Sean. Thank you for that.
You got it, beloved. You got it.
Now, what's one of your favorite films? For me, Imitation of Life.
Oh, my God. That's heavy.
I love Imitation of Life. And I still cry at the same scene when I don't watch it a million times. Right. You know, same thing. Same.
That's a heavy movie.
I try to tell myself, you know it's coming. What's wrong with you? Pull yourself together.
Sean, what's your favorite?
Oof. This so, my God, my brain is going through the Rolodex. But I'm going to... just to owe to my father, I'm going to say the movie that touched me, it was a play first of Raising in the Sun. But
okay.
City Pointing is a version of Raising in the Sun because I did that play over and over again. However, before that, I'm going to say To Serve with Love.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
To Serve with Love. Mm-hmm.
All right, Mila, you tried to escape that, but come
on. No, this is unfair. That's like asking me my favorite song. It's just too many.
It is.
We know it's a lot, but what's one you could just watch over and over again? Like Elf. Every Christmas, I got to watch Elf. You know?
Right.
My
sister and I have so many. We have, of course, National Lampoon's Vacation that we watch over and over
and over.
And we never get tired of it. Mm. The Color Purple, my mom introduced us to. That was so, I mean, thankfully it's been reproduced.
Right.
But that stuck with me. As a child, that thing stuck with me. And it never gets old. There's something so special about The Color Purple.
Right.
And also, I mean, you only asked for one, but let me give you one more.
Come on. Talk your talk.
I love Forrest Gump because I think Tom Hanks is one of the best actors I've ever seen in my life. That man can pull off anything. Forrest Gump is so good, and I think they don't say it, but you know, I'm a mom to an autistic child, and I think Forrest Gump was on the spectrum, and he warms my heart in that role. Forrest Gump, it never gets old.
Right.
I can watch it every time they play it on TV, and of course, Pretty Woman. I'm a girl. I gotta say, Pretty Woman. Okay.
Well, for me, it's Sparkle. I love Sparkle. I just love Sparkle.
I can see that.
The original one, not with Whitney.
Yeah, that's how I feel. The original Color Purple.
Right.
Yes.
All right, guys, give your handles, your websites, so that people can connect with you and definitely lay out a review for you.
Ladies first.
You can find me on Instagram or Facebook, same social media handles, at It's Mila. ItsMeelah. It's Mila.
Okay.
All right, and you can find me on IG or Facebook or Threads or TikTok, all of them. It's Sean Anthony Baker, that's SEAN, Anthony Baker, or, you know, Google.
you can Google me. You know.
You'll find me.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm not hiding.
I'm not hard to find.
Yeah, I'm not hard to find.
All right, family. Thank you so much for coming through, man. This was great. I love it. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you two continue to grow and prosper in your craft, please allow Urban Buzz Magazine to be one of your media partners.
Thank you.
We sure will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Nigeria.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
I do want to say to your listeners and readers, thank you guys who have supported me on my 702 journey. 702 is currently celebrating 30 years. This October will be 30 years.
Woo! Right?
702 releasing our first album in 1996 in October. Yeah. So 30 years this October. So we're celebrating all year long. So just stay tuned and prayerfully we'll be to a city near you. And thank you. I just want to thank you guys for the support and for still being along for my journey. And enjoy the strength of love.
Amen. Yes. All right.
Legacy. Love it.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Bye, guys.